Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can also listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. Well, my next guest had the rare opportunity recently to sit down and interview the President of the United States. And though I've had the pleasure of meeting President Trump, I've yet to have the pleasure of interviewing him. We're working on that, however. Give us time. We'll get there eventually. Joining us now is Mark Thiessen. Mark is a frequent Fox News contributor. He writes a twice-weekly column for the Washington Post on foreign and domestic policy. He is a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and the former chief speechwriter for President George W. Bush. Mark, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Like I said before we came on the air, it's kind of surreal having you on. Literally just last night, I think I saw you on Fox News. So it's a pleasure having you, my friend.
Good to be with you.
You met with the president in the Oval Office for the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the article, he had literally just been going over new polls, some internal, some not, showing him tied or leading, or in some cases, I'm sure, behind Joe Biden in some of the key swing states. The president, according to the article, the president still remains confident about his reelection, though, correct?
He is very confident about his reelection. He says, first of all, he hasn't really even started campaigning yet. He's been focused on dealing with the coronavirus and dealing with the economy and all the rest of it. And so he's just starting to rev up his campaign. And he believes that he's going to prevail. His base is the most loyal and enthusiastic base probably any president has had in history. He has an enthusiasm gap with Joe Biden that is significant, in the sense that voters are not enthusiastic about Joe Biden. There's a lot of voters who are enthusiastic about getting rid of Donald Trump, but they're not really energized behind Biden per se. And so he thinks that is going to bring him victory. The problem is that there are a lot of swing voters in the middle who really will tilt the election one way or another. If you look at the polls, and I pointed this out to him in the interview, there's about a 10 or 15% gap between people who say they approve of him and people and say they prefer approve of his handling of the economy. So, you know, there's a difference between the people who say they like his policies, but they don't like him. Those are gettable voters. And he doesn't really do as much as he ought to win those people over. That's my biggest worry for him going forward.
Well, and like you said, there's still plenty of time between now and November. And if he hasn't necessarily ramped up the campaign, hopefully between now and then he can focus on that group. Seems like Joe Biden's spending most of his time in the basement, so hopefully there's still time for him to get those voters. Your conversation turned to some of the media coverage of the president's speech at Mount Rushmore on July 3rd. Tell me if I'm wrong here. He seemed almost defensive about that speech and the media's coverage. He seemed saying, you know, that he wasn't necessarily defending Confederate memorials, but rather defending the past. Am I interpreting that right?
He was defensive about it. I think he was and riled up at the fact that, I mean, the truth be told, the coverage of the Mount Rushmore speech was like patently dishonest.
Yeah.
It was not a dark speech, as he said in my interview. He said it was the opposite of dark. He celebrated the victory and the Emancipation Proclamation and all the rest of that, and that just got confirmed by media. I asked him, why are you so in Confederate memorials? And he said, I'm not. He said, and in fact, he said, look, I have no love for the Confederacy. I'm a New Yorker. I'm a Yankee. I was on the other side. What I'm adamant about is defending history. He's very worried about the cancel culture and this movement to sort of to tar anybody in history. In a Revolutionary War, even the era with slavery, he said, I warned a couple of years ago that if you went after Robert E. Lee, then you'd be going after George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, and I've been proven right. So he's worried about the slippery slope. And then in terms of, I pressed him specifically on like the military bases. Like I said to him, why, we don't have any statues or military bases for Benedict Arnold, right? He was a traitor. Well, these generals were traitors. The Confederacy was a traitorous movement. They've tried to break away from the Union. So why would we have bases named for them? And he said, again, he's not adamant about keeping the names per se, though he said, it was an interesting comment. He said, aren't people even a little superstitious? We won two world wars out of these bases. but he said that he's worried about he's worried about not being able to control what the name change would be. Who would they get named after? That's not necessarily something he could decide. So I think he's just worried about the cancel culture and this movement towards political correctness that's sweeping the country, and he just doesn't want to give an inch to it.
Well, and I think you're right. It does beg the question, where does it stop? If you start here and then you go to this, is the next, was that Mount Rushmore? Is the next step, do we take down the presidents on Mount Rushmore who happen to own slaves? There are calls for Ulysses S. Grant's statue to come down. He owned a slave for a period of months, and he was adamantly opposed to slavery. So a lot of this is,
yes,
they tore down a Frederick Douglass.
Crushed the Ku Klux Klan as a president of the United States. He actually used the Insurrection Act
exactly
to crush the Ku Klux Klan.
Right. So he's got a point there. Is at what point the slippery slope is a good analogy for this.
When I pushed back on that, what I said to him was, so look, what the left is trying to do is saying there's no difference between the Confederacy and the Union, because they both were built around slavery, defense of slavery, right? So there's no difference between George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Robert E. Lee. And that's not true. And most Americans don't think that's true. And so if you draw a bright line by renaming, go and rename these bases for Jefferson and Washington and Lafayette, there's a base in Louisiana, name it for Lafayette, these Revolutionary War heroes, and let the other side start attacking that and saying, no, those people were slave owners. We can't name bases after them. And then they're the ones who look like they're defending the indefensible instead of him. So it wouldn't be a given to the cancel culture to do that. It would be actually winning the battle against the cancel culture, I think.
No, I think that's a good point. You also asked him about the protests, both the peaceful mm-hmm. and the violent, and the Black Lives Matter movement in general. He had some interesting comments about BLM. It wasn't necessarily dismissive of all protests, just the violent ones, correct?
Well, one of the things I pointed out to him and we discussed is how his critics take quotes that he says about violent mobs and protests and people tearing down statues and in the news stories says he was saying it about peaceful protesters. And it's dishonest. It's trying to make him out like he's opposed peaceful protests. So I said, I'll put you on the record. Do you support peaceful protests for racial justice? And he said, I do. I support peaceful protests. I support racial justice. Two, I support peaceful protests for racial justice. Three, I support all peaceful protests, no matter what they're for. What I oppose is mob violence. And that's what we're seeing in our streets today. And he said, and I oppose Black Lives Matter because it's the most racially divisive organization that's ever appeared in the United States. Their leaders are Marxists. They hate America. They think that America is inherently racist and that the system has to be torn down. And he's not going to stand for it. So he's against Black Lives Matter, capital B, capital L, capital M. But he believes that, but he is for racial justice and for peaceful protest.
Well, and who could argue with that? We're talking with Washington Post columnist Mark Thiessen about his recent exclusive interview with President Trump. Mark, in the interview, the president also touched a little bit upon his relationship with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and their dealings with the three of amongst the three of them with China. And he kind of referred to how he described it was the automatic opposition that he seems to get from Democrats. And I like the way he phrased it as a standard politics, basically, that they oppose him. I think if he said the sky was blue, they would oppose it. And he described it as being, quote, bad for the country. Do you think he sees, hopefully, that if he wins a second term, that it would improve? Or do you think he thinks if when he wins a second term, hopefully, it's just going to be same or worse?
I asked him that, and he didn't answer directly, but he basically said what we have to do is win.
Well, true.
That if we win, then they'll have to deal with us, basically. So, I mean, he's not confident that anything is going to get done between now and November. And he's right about that. I mean, you just look at what happened with Senator Tim Scott's effort at police reform,
right,
where they wouldn't even allow it to come to the floor for debate, much less, pass it and negotiate a compromise. They don't want to give him any victories. And so you're not going to get a lot done between now and November on anything other than absolutely has to be done. And he's aware of that. But I think he believes that if he wins and wins strongly, then they're going to have to deal with him, and they're going to have to deal with the reality because he's going to be there for four more years.
No, I think you're right. Mark, thank you again for joining us this evening. We've posted a link to this Washington Post interview, and I also actually posted the link to your interview that came out this week, or your article, rather, that came out this week. I loved it, by the way. It was the opinion piece that you wrote. Maybe Trump shouldn't save the Democrat-run cities besieged by violence. I love that piece. I think everybody should go read it. I posted that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But if folks want more information about you, they can listen to your podcast, What the Hell is Going On, and follow you on Twitter at Mark Thiessen. It's T-H-I-E-S-S-E-N on Twitter as well. They can find you there, correct?
Mark with a C. Yes.
Mark with a C, yes. Good. I'm glad you corrected me on that one, so we got that right. Thank you again for joining us, brother. You'll have to come on the show again, all right?
I would love to do it anytime.
I appreciate you coming on, my friend.
Take care. Thanks.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get a campaign update from U.S. Senate candidate Bob Hamilton. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.